Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Doctors finding hurdles to using pills to treat COVID-19. High-risk COVID-19 patients now have new treatments they can take at home to stay out of the hospital if doctors get the pills to them fast enough. Health systems around the country are rushing out same-day prescription deliveries. Some clinics have started testing and treating patients in one visit, an initiative that President Joe Biden's administration recently touted. The goal is to get patients started on either Pfizer's Paxlovid tablets or Merck's Molnupiravir capsules within 5 days of symptoms appearing. That can prevent people with big health risks from growing sicker and filling up hospitals if another surge develops. But the tight deadline has highlighted several challenges. Some patients are delaying testing, thinking that they just had a cold. Others have been unwilling or unable to try the new drugs. With vaccines and treatments available, we can make this much more manageable in the future if people are willing to take care of themselves, said Dr. Byron Jarabek, who helps lead COVID-19 treatments and vaccination efforts for the Minnesota Health System's mHealth Fairview. The Food and Drug Administration authorized the drug last year. Doctors hailed the pills as a huge advance in the fight against COVID-19, partly because of their convenience compared to other treatments that require infusions or injections. But patients can miss the pill's short window if they dismiss symptoms like a headache or sniffles and wait to see if they go away before seeking help. Stanford's Dr. Thomas Liu said he's seen high-risk and unvaccinated people who have waited more than a week. Some hospitalized patients on oxygen have told him they thought nothing of their first symptoms. They say everyone in the family decided it was a cold or allergy season is coming up, and it was COVID all along, he said. People delay seeking help for many health problems, not just COVID-19, Liu noted. But when it comes to the virus, the doctor believes patients may not be aware of the tight deadline. Even those who get tested quickly, however, sometimes refuse the pills, doctors say. Jarabek estimates that 30% to half of the patients who qualified for the antiviral pill turned down the treatments in his health system earlier this year. He said some people didn't consider themselves high risk or didn't think they were sick enough to need the pills, which are free to patients. They also worried about side effects or how the drugs would interact with other medications. Jeff Carlson couldn't try Paxlovid when COVID-19 hit him in January because it might interfere with his heart medications. The 61-year-old suburban St. Paul, Minnesota resident has type 1 diabetes and heart disease. A doctor asked him to try Molnupiravir about 3 days after he started feeling symptoms. By then, Carlson couldn't get off his couch. His fever had soared and he was struggling to breathe. His wife picked up the prescription, and a few days later, Carlson felt well enough to shovel snow. It turned me around basically in a matter of pretty much 18 hours after I took the first dose, he said. Some healthcare providers have started free delivery services for Paxlovid or Molnupiravir. New York City has established a hotline patients can call if they test positive for the coronavirus. They can talk to a care provider if they don't have a doctor or have pills sent to them if they are a good candidate. The Mass General Brigham Health System in Boston started a similar program that ships pills to some patients via Federal Express. Raymond Kelly received a package of Paxlovid about 3 hours after a doctor cleared him for the prescription last month. The 75-year-old Needham, Massachusetts resident said he caught the virus despite being vaccinated and receiving a booster shot. His doctor was on the phone with him minutes after the health system notified him that he had tested positive. It was all sort of a blur because it was going on so quickly, Kelly said. Mass General Brigham aims to treat patients quickly and solve transportation problems with its program. Dr. Scott Dryden Peterson noted that some COVID-19 patients may not be able to pick up pills, especially since they should be staying off buses and ride-sharing services. OC recognized on floor of U.S. House of Representatives. On March 17th in Washington, D.C., OC President Gregory D. Williams and Odessa College were recognized on the floor of the United States House of Representatives by Congressman Raja Krishnamoorthy for the college's tremendous success. Krishnamoorthy, in his remarks, said, as the co-author of the bipartisan Strengthening Career and Technical Education for the 21st Century Act, the largest reform of skills-based education in more than a dozen years, I rise today to celebrate one institution that has become a national exemplar. I'm honored to join Congressman August Pfluger of Texas in recognizing Gregory Williams at Odessa College. Odessa College has been named a top 10 community college by the Aspen Institute. Krishnamoorthy continued, Williams has seen both enrollment as well as students with passing grades increase year after year. When we reform CTE in 2018 and increased federal funding by more than 10%, we did so with educators like Williams in mind. I commend Williams and Odessa College for their tremendous success. I will continue fighting for robust funding for skills-based and vocational education funding so that programs like Odessa's can flourish in my state in Illinois, as well as across the country.
Task Force gets an F. Our spirits are buoyed by a tremendous revelation. Governor Greg Abbott has organized a task force to ascertain why there's a worsening teacher shortage in Texas. Is this the far-sighted post-primary governor who we so recently dreamed of but thought impossible? According to a Texas Education Agency announcement this past Thursday, the task force will seek to understand the challenges districts are currently facing related to teacher vacancies. Excellent. We have no doubt that this task force will be full of teachers, current and former, and no education experts. No question, it will seek the Council of Teacher Organizations, meet frequently as the urgent issue requires, and efficiently bring forth solutions that districts so desperately need. Well, maybe not. A closer look at the announcement reveals just two teachers on a 28-person task force. Rather than demonstrate a sense of urgency, the plan calls for the task force to meet just every other month for a year. And as for teachers' pay, there's no acknowledgement of pay issues for teachers. Not a great start, after all. Sure, we're bringing a little snark to a serious challenge, but let's be clear. It's a good thing that the governor has highlighted the looming teacher shortage, and the TEA is right to stand up a task force aimed at addressing the problem. But this is no time to hand out an A for effort. Since 2014, according to the TEA, Texas has seen a 27% decrease in the number of newly certified teachers. Districts around the state have reported difficulties finding substitute teachers, particularly during the COVID spikes. Houston ISD's press office told us Monday that the average HISD salary for certified full-time teachers is $62,200. HISD ranks 11th of 12 area school districts in the region in almost every compensation category. A staffing calamity may be nigh. In their most recent staff survey, nearly a third of the teachers said they were seriously considering leaving the district in the next year. That's after the district had to scramble to fill hundreds of open teacher positions in 2021. In August, KXAN reported that 270 teachers have resigned from the district since August, 11% more than a year ago, with even higher numbers of staff resignations. Statewide, more than two-thirds of Texas teachers have seriously considered leaving the profession, according to a 2021 report by the Charles Butt Foundation. So sure, we welcome the new task force, but meeting every 2 months, ignoring the tough problem of teacher salaries, that's not going to make the grade. A task force with teeth would get busy with the following. First, it could present concrete suggestions of how districts can raise teacher pay. According to a recent University of Houston report, average base pay in the 2018-2019 school year was about $1,250 less than the 2011, and in some places fell as steeply as $2,500 when adjusted for inflation. Average teacher pay in Texas is more than $7,000 below the national average. Districts such as HISD have released strategic plans with goals of raising salaries and offering signing and retention bonuses to be refunded with federal COVID relief money. The committee ought to outline further ways to raise pay. This is made even more urgent given how paltry pension payments are for many retired teachers in Texas. Monthly retirement benefits haven't grown since 2004. Some other suggestions of the task force are to commit to interviewing teachers who've left the profession. It needs to hear directly from people about why they left. Meet more often than every 2 months. In 2 months, the school year will be nearly over. We can't wait a year for any proposed solutions. Explore and propose best practices for teachers' retention from other states, whether the state trends blue or red. Hold to an encouraging commitment to hear from a diverse range of teachers in its panels. Find out what role bans on books and the heightened scrutiny on curriculum, particularly in how we teach our country's history, have had on teacher vacancies. It's a start, truly, but Abbott has recognized that the ongoing shortage of full-time and substitute teachers in schools across the state demands a thoughtful, creative conversation to reverse the trend. But this task force as presently structured, doesn't engender confidence that it will produce more than a few mildly interesting press releases and half-hearted suggestions. Texas teachers deserve urgent answers and solutions. Oh, and the best ones should be paid a lot more, too.
The United Family opens application process for 2022 paid summer internship program. By OA Life. The United Family has opened its summer internship application process for full-time college students, recent graduates, and others who qualify until the April 1st deadline. For those applicants who are selected, the internship will run for 10 weeks during the summer months. The positions are also eligible for full-time pay with up to 40 hours per week. This can vary by position. In addition, applicants can apply for an extremely wide range of areas within the United Family, like marketing, IT, accounting, human resources, merchandising, supply chain, finance, and more. Opportunities for internship applicants are almost limitless with the United Family. Shannon Miller, EVP of Talent Management for the United Family, said, "There are so many different fields all at work under one roof. Because of that, we can accommodate almost any type of qualified student in a variety of majors." Internships are not only a great way to secure real-world experience, but they can also lead to real-world opportunities. Stanton Kelcher,
a bakery business manager and 7-year team member of the United Family, said his own experience with the summer internship program helped shape the career he has today. I did the 10-week summer bakery management internship, and during that time, I was able to take what I was learning in my classes at Texas Tech and apply them to real-world examples within the bakery department, he said. I worked with several important managers during my internship, and their coaching and willingness to help me succeed changed my mindset to seeing United as a company I could have a long-term career with. Applicants can click here to find the application page. Search the word summer in the keyword search and click on Summer Internship Program. To apply, they will need to complete the application, submit a resume, send in a transcript as well as 2 recommendation letters, and an essay. Some positions are available across all markets of the United Family, while some are only available in Lubbock, Texas, such as administration positions. More details are available on the application website.
This is Jane reading for the Midland Reporter Telegram on Wednesday, March 23rd. ProParent, help prepare your child for what's next. Transition is defined as the process or a period of changing from one state or condition to another. We ask children to transition multiple times each day from one activity to the next, from one point of focus to another, and beyond. Many parents fail to understand the internal mental process involved in preparing for and undergoing transitions. If you notice your child becoming stressed, anxious, or resistant when you ask them to stop one activity to move on to something new, they may be having trouble transitioning. When we are switching tasks, activities, or environments, mentally, we must use our executive functioning to think through the steps it takes to stop what we are doing and be ready for the next activity. Many people do this seamlessly without even recognizing the mental process involved. But some children need more time to go through this mental process or need help processing the steps required to transition and visualizing what will happen next. If you notice your child having trouble, here are a few strategies you can use to help. Use a countdown. When you know an activity needs to wrap up, warn your child and let them know how much time is left. For example, we have 10 minutes left to play and then we need to go home. Set a timer on your watch or phone to keep the time consistent. Call out as time winds down. For example, 5 minutes left, 2 minutes left. Use motivating items. If transitions are really hard, you may need to use motivating items or activities to help your child transition easier. For example, once you're done cleaning up, we can watch your favorite video. As your child begins transitioning more successfully, you can back away from using the external motivators. Use pictures or videos. If your child is fearful or anxious about what comes next, they may have trouble visualizing the transition. Try taking pictures or videos in advance to show your child what will happen next. As adults, sometimes we forget or don't realize the complex mental process that goes into transitioning from one environment or task to another. Taking some additional time to pre-plan transitions will help increase predictability, reduce anxiety, and set your child up for success.
Midland College offers free student health services. Midland College now offers Timely Care, a new support program for students that provides free medical and mental health services to all enrolled students seeking a credential from MC. Whether students are feeling under the weather, anxious, or overwhelmed, this is the place to start so that they don't spend time and money having to go to a clinic in person and paying for services, Wendy Kane said. Students can communicate with a timely care provider from a smartphone or any web-enabled device. There is no cost, and students do not need insurance. Kane said that a timely care provider is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Services include on-demand or scheduled medical visits for a wide range of common illnesses, like cold and flu, sinus infections, allergies, and more. On-demand emotional support counseling with a mental health professional, scheduled counseling visits with a licensed counselor, scheduled psychiatric visits through a campus counseling referral, and scheduled health coaching to help students with lifestyle behaviors such as meal planning and sleep issues. As a result of the COVID pandemic, we realized that many of our students needed to be able to see a healthcare provider not only when they were physically ill, but also when they felt isolated and were experiencing symptoms of depression.
What's the prognosis for microvascular disease? Dear Dr. Roach, I am an 80-year-old active male taking only thyroxine. I have no known health issues. In November 2021, I experienced a migraine with aura and have a slight vision loss in my right eye. After seeing an eye doctor, a retinal specialist, and a primary care doctor, the only thing I am hearing is the term microvascular disease. This is based on the eye doctor's examination. I am unable to find a satisfactory definition or a prognosis anywhere I search. Any information you could provide would be appreciated. Answer. The blood vessels in your body go from very large, the aorta, which takes the blood directly from the heart, is the largest, all the way down to the capillaries, the very smallest. Microvascular disease refers to poor flow in the smaller arteries, called the arterioles. These branch off from the larger arteries and ultimately provide blood to the capillaries. All organs have small blood vessels, but the term microvascular disease is most often applied to the heart and brain. The most common causes include smoking, high blood pressure, and diabetes. But high cholesterol and rheumatological diseases such as rheumatoid arthritis or systemic lupus are other causes. However, it's not necessary to have any of these conditions, as the condition can affect apparently healthy older women and men. To your good health, Dr. Keith Roach.
Sparks still flying when couple reconnect. Dear Abby, I reconnected with an old flame, Ollie, 8 years ago. We would see each other and catch up during a weekly event he hosted. We're both married with kids. We kept it non-physical but connected emotionally. We chatted every day and confessed our attraction to each other while still not engaging in anything more than our weekly encounters among friends. People often assumed we were husband and wife. At the time, I was going through a horrible period in my marriage. My husband, Pete, was emotionally abusive and one night even threatened to kill me. Pete and I went to couples counseling, and I went to counseling on my own. During the first 5 years of reconnecting with Ollie, he was supportive, accepting, and very kind. I fell in love with him and he with me. We had one quick hug before I left for the holidays. When I returned, we had an intimate kiss. Then COVID hit. Obviously, there was no physical contact after that kiss, but we still talk nearly every day. We've seen each other at business functions among friends twice or 3 months in 3 months. Pete has actually changed and has apologized for how he treated me. We got to get along nicely during the quarantine. I'm just no longer attracted to him. I no longer trust him. He knows nothing of my friendship with Ollie. I also don't think Ollie will ever give in to his feelings for me. What can I do? Signed, Confounded in Iowa. Dear Confounded, go back to your counselor. You have some heavy decisions to make about how you want to live the rest of your life. Remove Ollie from the equation and ask yourself if you really want to stay married to someone to whom you are no longer attracted and no longer completely trust. Some people are so fearful of the prospect of being alone that they stay in empty or abusive relationships. Figure out whether you have the strength to go it alone, and you'll have the answer to your question. Dear Abby, I live in an over 55 condominium community in Florida. Overall, it's calm and quiet, which is why I moved here. My favorite pastime and form of exercise is to go to the pool. However, some neighbors think nothing of playing their music loudly in the pool area. I would never subject anyone else to my taste in music in such a public arena, and I can't understand why they think they have the right to inflict it on other people without asking. I've spoken to them politely and asked that they refrain, but they continue to do exactly as they want. Any suggestions? Signed, Desperately Seeking Peace and Quiet. Dear Desperately, because you've spoken to the neighbors about this with no success, I will offer some suggestions. The first would be to bring this to the attention of the manager and the board of directors of your condominium association. Consideration for others should not be need to be written into the bylaws, but sad reality is that it sometimes does. Another solution could be as simple as the music lovers wearing earbuds to enjoy their music without bothering others. However, if that doesn't solve the problem, you may have to invest in noise-canceling headphones for yourself.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.